Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Instance Listening audience, it is my chance to come to you before today's show and remind you that we have a great new way to support the Instance. It's not a Kickstarter. It's not a Patreon. It's none of those things. It's a homegrown plan we put together ourselves called the Instance Loot Stash. And you can go check it out right now at theinstance.net. That's our website, theinstance.net. It's also at frogpants.com if you want to find it that way. But one way or the other, it's a great way to support us and get some cool loot in the process. So please do. That again is theinstance.net and the Instance Loot Stash. Support it today. And don't forget about our friends over at doghousesystems.com, where you can get a 255 gigabyte SSD drive for free with your next system purchase. All you have to do is use the code WOW. Those guys are awesome, and you need to get your next rig at doghousesystems.com.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Instance. This is episode 557. The date is May 3rd, 2019. That's right, a new month, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Patrick, who is currently in somewhere near Helsinki, Finland. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Scott Johnson. How fare you after your Las Vegas adventures?
I fare me well, I think is the way you say it. Had a really good time there. Yeah, we had a lot of Instance folks there, which was great. I have a little bit to say about that a little bit later in terms of our tournament we held there, but before we get to that, you should also welcome to the show one Garrett Weinzerl from Florida. Hello, welcome.
Hey, Scott. Patrick, how you doing?
Hey, man. What's up with you? How's life?
I am alta-hauling like crazy.
Oh, I thought you had spent that nickel, but you're still in. You're all in on the alts right now.
Well, I finished my human warlock. Yeah. Who is now almost better geared than my demon hunter, who I actually raided with at the beginning of this expansion.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then it's time walking week, so I cracked the seal on my old main, my blood elf paladin. Mm-hmm. I've been burning through a couple levels, just, you know, chaining together time walking dungeons. And then I got this hair up my rear to go unearth my level 60 bank alt from my alliance days, which is a rogue. And dudes, rogues are really fun.
Yeah,
I don't know if you knew this, but rogues are fun as hell.
I mean, look, I've got friends who swear by them, who say that if you play any other class in the game, you're just wasting your time. The rogues have always been the best and will never be topped, so you know.
Some of my best friends are rogues.
It was what I was going to roll when I first bought this game.
Yeah.
I bought World of Warcraft, got home, was really excited to play with my friends, and my buddy goes, well, I'm already a rogue.
Yeah. I mean, rogues.
Well, we can't do that. We can't have two rogues. So I rolled myself in that elf hunter. What did my friend do? Switch to horde and jump servers.
Of course.
And I was invested.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, he is no longer your friend.
Actually, he DJ'd my wedding and we're very close, and he does a lot of the music for the podcasts I do.
Oh, all right. Still pals then. Everything's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes me happy.
Listen, when you become friends trading Pokemon over red and blue on your Game Boy colors, that's a friendship that lasts.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, just so you know, in the movie version of that story, I'll write it as a terrible feud that spans years. Because you need a little bit of drama if you want the audience to be captivated.
You call it Red versus Blue and sell the rights to Lifetime.
Oh, nice, nice, nice point. Well, it's lovely to be here and have everyone here. We're going to get right to it. I say everyone, but I talked to Terpster the other day. His words to me were, "I hate that we haven't podcasted together in so long." And he did it in that tone.
Well, tell him to put down the weights for 5 minutes and come talk to us.
He's so jacked right now. I don't know if anyone's seen him on Instagram. It's gross.
Incredible.
I can't believe it.
So we actually, he was, obviously he likes me better than he likes you, Scott, because we did Pixels earlier this week.
I see. He makes time for Pixels, does he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the time zones help. Also, he lamented to me the fact that he couldn't join us on the instance. But... we spent a good 10 minutes discussing his new body, I should say, and how he got it. And yes, it's incredible. Like, for people who knew him before, I seriously think you might could think he's photoshopped, like, in real life in front of you, because it's not the same person.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I've seen him many times. Have I been with Terpster? In very close and intimate ways. He'd come to Nerdtacular when we'd spend a lot of time in proximity, certainly at multiple BlizzCons. I would be right around Terpster all the time. And that dude knows how to put his alcohol down the hole and get it going. And I know he knows how to put on a few spare pounds. And so I've always just kind of loved his lovable little tire he had going. And, you know, his just little pudgy baby face and everything. But now he is this, like, jacked bro man. And it's scary.
I feel like bro man is a good description.
Yeah.
I'm wondering now, Terpster, if you're out there listening, did you just have a poster of Chris Pratt hanging on your wall? Like, did you have two of them side by side? Did you have Parks and Rec Chris Pratt and then Guardians of the Galaxy Chris Pratt? And you just wake up every morning and you just look at it and you go, soon.
I can do this, yeah. This could be me, is what he's saying to himself.
Yeah, yeah, it's bananas. Don't want to admit that I talk about Terpster's body in private, but the other day I was just like, "Katie, have you followed Terpster on Instagram?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "You need to see this." And I'm just like pulling up all of his photos, yeah. And we're going back watching his transformation into an Avenger.
Yeah, for real, people should go look this up. I can't remember his. I think it's the Terps or something, or is it the _T on Instagram? I don't remember.
If you search for Terpster, I'm sure there's only one.
It's like, it's me, Terpster. But yeah.
It's crazy. So, talking about these too close for comfort moments at BlizzCon, to round up this topic, I'll say that I it was too close for comfort before, but if there is ever a time when, you know, he drinks a little bit too much and gets smoochy at the next BlizzCon, which we'll also talk about on this episode, it won't be too close for comfort for me. That's all I'll say.
That's a really good point. Here you go, chat room. I found some images. I'm going to show you, like, his more buff moments. Look at this. Like, look at those hands.
I love this. I love that T isn't here.
Yeah.
This is like max level creepy, but also just so perfect.
Yeah. He's at the perfect age to go ahead and jump on this thing. And, you know, I look forward to when he slows down in his 40s and gets all fat again. That'll be a good time.
That is a good point. He's like 30 something. Of course he can get buffed and ripped.
Yeah, he's still time. Why, yeah, it's still easy.
Yeah, I mean, back in those days for me, I was at least as impressively ripped.
Yeah, I could do it back then too.
I'm in my 30s, and this is what I say about people in their 20s, because I used to work in a kitchen. And I was in charge of baking stuff, so I would just sit there eating cookie dough and cakes all day long, and I was still skinny as a rail. Yeah. I looked like Cumberbatch about to mess with the time stone.
Yeah.
And now, no.
We're not going to give any Endgame spoilers today, because obviously we're here to talk about Blizzard and WoW and other stuff, but I just want to say one tiny thing. There is a scene toward the end where... No, I'm not going to give anything away. This gives nothing away. But there's a scene toward the end.
Every time you start with, "I'm not going to give anything away," you immediately give something away.
Let's just say this. The actor you may have just mentioned, I think, was CGI'd on top of a really weird body at the end of that movie. Now, Patrick, you've seen the movie like 3 times. When you go in for your 4th, just notice that little thing at the end when he's sort of standing there. And tell me that that's not, he's not actually there. He didn't show up that day. It's like a body of someone else and then his head awkwardly balancing on top of it.
I'll pay attention.
Spoilers, and yet.
There's no spoiler.
Massive spoiler.
No, that is not a massive spoiler, I don't think.
It's totally a spoiler.
Is it?
Totally a spoiler. Right. Spoiler alert, I think a lot of the actors in that movie weren't in the same room at the same time.
That's a good point. All right, moving on then. We have stuff to discuss today. And it begins with this. BlizzCon is happening. right after we had our show last Wednesday, before I left for Vegas. And I had sort of gotten, I had dug deeper on my prediction that they may not do this one year or this year because they'd waited so long to say anything. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. They're doing it November 1st and 2nd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow and then again on May 8th. And we have confirmation, and some of it is controversial. And I have very mixed feelings about some of this. So here you go. Another chance for rah-rah Blizzard Scott, who loves Blizzard and has always loved Blizzard, to be a little critical of Blizzard today because I don't necessarily love this stuff. And we're, you know, a few days into this. A lot of people are kind of over the discussion of tickets and what changed this year. But I think we should still talk about it a little bit. So here's the skinny, and then we can discuss it. Regular tickets.
I have calmed significantly.
Oh, have you? Because I haven't. Yeah. I've gotten maybe a little worse. I'm a little more annoyed as time has gone on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll explain why. It's a principle thing, and it may be just I need to get off my high horse and not have the principle so glowingly hot in
yes.
my hand.
Abandon your principles, Scott. That is what you need to do.
Yeah, that seems like great advice. Anyway, regular tickets, they're up $30. They were $199 last year and the year previous. They are now $229. Not a big deal. $30 increase. I don't know. That seems probably about right for a thing like this.
Back in my day, BlizzCon was $150. So this is the story of BlizzCon tickets. They have just steadily gone up in price.
Yeah, they go up and there's nothing you can do about them going up eventually because they go up. So that part's fine. Now, part of the context I want to give people is this. If you weren't there last year, then you don't know how horrendous the security stuff was this year or this last year. It was painful. Like, so bad. I was late for everything. You were out in the hot sun for hours, where last year, the year before that, and all previous years that I've ever been, you were just right in. Like, they really, really, really went hard on this, and they were searching everyone's swag boxes, for heaven's sakes. Like, it was really rough. Not saying I don't like security in a secure event. I do. Should be a safe space. But, man, they ratcheted that up, and I don't think they handled it that well. Plus, we have friends who witnessed a bribery of one of the security guards and got past everybody simply by throwing him $20. So not all that secure when you're letting that sort of thing happen. So I think there were a lot of issues there and a lot of problems, and maybe that stuff will get tightened up. I say that so that I can then tell you this next part. That's a normal ticket. They now have something called a portal pass ticket. It's basically a fast pass like you'd get at Disney. $550. $550. I just want that number to sink in. $550. With access to pre-event stuff, which basically is the Dark Moon Fair area the day before, which is Halloween, which is nuts. People can go up there and hang out, and devs will be milling around. It'll be like one of the dev meetups that we always get invited to, except if you're one of the 550s, you get to go up there and hobnob with those guys. You also get access to what they're calling the Portal Pass Lounge. You get early entry into, I would assume, opening ceremonies and other stuff. They didn't get real specific about that. And then shorter security lines and preferred parking. Now, here's the principle. You guys want to hear the principle? This is the principle. I don't like this dividing up on economic lines. And I don't mean societal economic lines. I just mean, I don't like the idea of separating people by who could afford $550 and who couldn't. And having the ones that could skip ahead. Hey, skip ahead, everybody. And the reason I don't like it in this, and I don't like it at Disneyland either. I kind of don't like it anywhere. But the reason I really don't like it here is because for me, okay, so I'm speaking from my own experience, BlizzCon has always been this really great unifying event for Blizzard fandom. And in that unification, that meant we all were going to go and we were all equals and we were all going to experience it together and not have obstacles put in our place that were arbitrary and artificial based on how much money you paid. I don't like that kind of stuff, like, ever. So that's my principle that I would have to abandon if I was to be cool with this. And I really have mixed feelings about it. Like, I understand. Like, it's almost like the faster security lines is just an answer to a bad security situation last year. and you're paying a huge premium for it. That's the other thing. I don't know that all that stuff's worth $550 because you're also going to have to get hotel. You're going to have to get flight. You're going to have all the expensive things that happen when you go to Anaheim, California, BlizzCon or not, but especially during BlizzCon. And you're going to be saddled with this relative hardship of a thing if you want all this preferred treatment. Like, does it? I'm very curious what you guys think. We'll start with Patrick. Patrick, am I crazy? Like, is that seem? I'm not trying to be Mr. Socialist here. I'm just saying I don't like the idea
I knew
of
you were going to go there.
I just don't like it. Don't like the tiering.
Yeah, you beat me to the punch. I don't really like it either. I mean, I'm not sure. I have mixed feelings. I think for the price hike, that is pure capitalism, and it's fine. As long as they can sell it for a higher price, I think they are perfectly in their right to sell it for a higher price, and they keep selling out, and that's fine. And the price has essentially, what, doubled over the last 10 years. But, you know, as long as people are willing to pay it, then it's fine. The Portal Pass ticket, I think, follows the same logic, kind of. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's common for conventions to have that tiered system. But there is this factor that you're talking about where BlizzCon is a very communal experience, and we're all the same, and we're all together. And what this creates is there's going to be people that cut the lines, essentially, and that are in the venue before everyone else, which for the opening ceremony specifically, which is the big thing, means they're going to get better seats, which, you know, they're paying basically double the amount. So I guess it's only fair, but it still feels a little bit icky to me. But I don't know. Everyone does it, kind of, like all conventions have it. So why not? And if some people aren't willing to pay for that, then they won't. And on the other hand, like I keep going back and forth, on the other hand, before last year, I don't know if the convention center had to adhere to stricter security regulations, and thus the security lines became a nightmare. But before that last year,
mm-hmm. Well, we had a shooting last year, like a month before BlizzCon, right, at a gaming event in Florida.
Mm. Oh, right. The Madden
But
thing.
I mean, yeah. You know, I don't make light of anything, but you have shootings, you know, on a regular basis in the U.S. and previous years didn't have that increased scrutiny. Right.
So I don't know what last year it was a lot closer to home. It was an actual gaming event.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, all right.
Had it not been a gaming event, I think it would have felt different. But yes,
maybe.
I don't even know if that was why they did that. Like, they never talked about it, so I don't know if they were planning on that big security increase. Regardless, they must have been, because a month before isn't enough time for them to scramble. Or maybe it was because it ended up being so bad. I don't know. I'm torn on that.
Or maybe, you know, it's possible they changed security companies and that one wasn't as well organized as the other. We don't know. But my point was going to be, in previous years, The security lines, I didn't feel, were that bad. They were, you know, it's never fun to wait in a security line, but it wasn't as horrendous as what I've heard from last year.
Oh, so, not even close.
I want to defend last year and say, other than the opening of the con floor the day of, the security lines weren't that bad.
Oh.
And what none of us have mentioned on the show today, too, is in regards to the Portal Pass, and I will admit, you can go check my Twitter right now. When this got announced, I didn't have kind things to say about it. My gut reaction is this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good, and it definitely doesn't look good in a year where Blizzard already doesn't look good.
Yeah,
they have an image problem this year like crazy, and this does not help.
Right.
All that said, hey, the three of us have gotten media passes for multiple years in a row now. We basically already got this experience for free because of what we do for Blizzard. So I'm with you, Scott, I'm not trying to like throw it in your face, because I'm with you. Like, I remember going to BlizzCon the first many years, paying completely out of pocket, getting no access to anyone, no one giving a crap about StarCast or any other podcast I was doing. And it was really special to me. It was something that I sat on the sidelines for years and watched, and I wanted to go to it so bad. And when I finally got to go, It was amazing. It was truly an amazing experience.
Right.
And so I do feel, I'm with you. I get that feeling. I think something sort of kind of is lost.
While
at the same time, this is kind of industry standard. And people like you and me have already been getting this experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm standing in a bit of a proxy position on this because, yeah, you could. And before people start, you know, yelling, hey, Scott, you get press passes plus, hey, didn't at Nerdtacular you offer front row seats for a premium? Yes, we did. Like, we kind of had VIP seats.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I hadn't even remembered that.
Hypocritical Scott is back at it again.
Right. It sounds like that does sound rather hypocritical. I guess I'm doing kind of a proxy thing for the average goer, con goer. I know how I would feel if I were them. And it would be like I feel. Like I would feel like this is...
Yeah, okay, no, but how is it different from your con? Where you had VIP. If you hadn't mentioned it, I wouldn't have even remembered. How is it different from yours?
It's not different. It's not different at all. The main difference is that in our case, we needed it because we had to pay for stuff, and we weren't going to break even if we didn't. So that was our biggest reason. I don't know if that's part of Blizzard's reason or not, but
no, I'm sure it isn't. BlizzCon, I think, makes money every year.
Yeah, so. And I think they'll do real well this year because I don't know how many. I don't know what proportion of tickets are the 550s. That'd be interesting to know.
I forgot that I did VIP for CreateCon too.
Right. We like what we're talking about it is everybody. Like Gary, you said it. It's becoming an industry-wide thing from small to large, and so part of me goes, oh well, yeah, this is just the way stuff goes. And someone in the chat even said, well, this has already been prohibitive because you're never going to get the whole fan base together anyway. True. And there's a huge portion who can't even do the 150 in years past or the 199 in years past. True. So it's already a discriminating event by its very nature. It's only going to be available for those who have the money, B, got tickets, got in under the wire and got tickets if they were lucky. Like it's already that. It's already kind of exclusive. So I don't know.
I think all of those... Sorry, I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
I think all of these things can be true at the same time. Mm. You know, it doesn't have to be like, I don't like a little bit of that, so all of a sudden, it's my hate for Blizzard is full on, or this is completely normal industry standard, so everyone who thinks this is a little bit icky is an idiot. I think it gives mixed feelings to a lot of people. And it is already discriminating for BlizzCon, but at the same time, you know, to go to BlizzCon is difficult for some people, but at the same time, this is a little bit more. So I think that sums up.
But so are concerts. So are I admit that. That's, I admit that my holding this principle over my head is got about 100 caveats. That's making it heavier and it's going to be harder to hold it up over my head for very long. But that
VIP thing you did for your con is the heaviest of all the caveats.
It's pretty heavy. I mean, they weren't that expensive. They were less money than a single BlizzCon ticket. But here, let me mention this. Sitting in the chat room, who often drops truth bombs, I think he's probably right. He says, this is not a normal event for the common man anymore, if it ever was. It's a marketing event with premium access for enthusiasts. I mean, that's kind of what it always has been, right? Like, most players don't go. Most players sit home and hear the announcements and talk about what's happening and see the esports and stuff, and they don't go to those lengths. This is for those who really want to be first in line, who really want to get the full-blown experience, and it's 26, 27, 28,000 of those people out of millions who do it. So,
And yet, when you go there to be amongst your peers and you're super happy to have gone there and you see that douchebag who's richer than you and, you know, cuts the line and has a great seat for the opening ceremony because he forked, you know, double the amount you did, I think it fractures a little bit the community. I think it doesn't feel super great.
Well, and also, if they'd have done this last year, I would have had less of a problem with it, weirdly. I do think I'm colored by all of the weird stuff going on lately. And like Garrett, you were saying, the current PR vision of Blizzard is not what it used to be. Things are a little less shiny. And because of that, that is absolute... I'd be lying if I said that wasn't affecting how I'm perceiving this price hike and them being so jazzed about it. It's the greatest event in the world. Forget about all the stuff that's been happening lately. And look at this shiny object, which now costs more money. Like, I know that's what's psychologically, I will own and that. I know that's what's happening.
Frankly, it could be strategic too. Like, if this is something they've always been wanting to do, why not just do it now? Just rip the Band-Aid off while you're ripping all the other ugly Band-Aids off. The image is already in the toilet for Blizzard, so F it. Just get this over with. Get ahead of it. We won't be thinking about this come November unless we get there and it's the line is very clearly delineated between the fast pass holders and the regulars.
Yeah.
But chances are, I think a lot of us are going to just forget about this. Come then, it's probably just going to, this is going to be the way it is from here on out. My only true concern with this pass is, how does this work in numbers as far as how many people are being admitted to the conference? That's my only true concern is that, like, are we losing X amount of regular passes for the portal pass? Because they can only let so many people in. Like, there's fire codes and things you have to clear.
And they already occupy the entirety of the convention center. Right. So.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my biggest concern. I am assuming the way they're running this is maybe it's, I don't know, like, because it's BlizzCon. It always sells out. Like, is 550 truly too high? Or if they sold 30,000 portal pass tickets and only 10,000 regular tickets, would it sell out?
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. They probably have some way to real time, because they haven't said, so they don't have to lock in on any. You know, they don't have to say how many tickets are going to be what kind. So they couldn't. Oh, where'd everybody go? I lost everybody. That was weird. Hold on. Did you guys see that? The call just ended. Hold on. It's garbage poop.
It's fine.
Fine. I mean, yeah, if it's one-on-one, it's no problem. I can deal with it. If you have multiple people...
I don't do videos.
Yeah. If you do video or multiple people in Skype, you want to die. All right. People at home, we're back. Sorry about the weirdness. We were talking smack about BlizzCon and the whole thing went down and thought maybe Blizzard was coming after us.
Back. We were having an honest conversation about legitimate concerns.
And it was good. It was good regarding discussion.
Regarding something that is very, that used to be very special to all of us.
Yes. And still is in many
ways. I have one last retort.
Oh, give me your retort. Go.
Oh, already? Yeah. Oh, are we recording?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're already? Good. We're still there.
Okay. We're good to go.
Yeah,
okay.
We're good to go.
I do want to defend the idea that media get press passes and that is the way it should be. For most people, maybe not for us, but for most people, and I would argue even for us, we go there to work. Maybe the first couple of times it was just we didn't work all that much. Mm-hmm. But honestly, most media people don't go there to have fun. Having fun is an incidental element of being at BlizzCon. Yeah. And of course, for fans, it's always fun. But I mean, I don't know how many podcasts you guys record when you're there, but I usually do like 3-4 and you need to stay on top of everything. And it is, if on top of that, you had to go through the lines and you know, all of that, it would make it a lot more difficult. So I feel like it's in conventions in general and maybe a little bit less at BlizzCon because it's more fun, but still, it's warranted to have special passes for media. It's not just...
Oh, yeah. Those aren't just y'all are VIPs, come have fun. Like, I work... Yeah. BlizzCon for me is a blur of 3 days of just nonstop running around, getting shit done. Like, that's all it is.
Yes, yes. But it's also, like, it's a mixed bag. Like, I still can't... Last year really did feel like work, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was because of the privileges that the media pass affords me in years past, I've been more or less still been able to have like a fun fan BlizzCon experience. Mm-hmm. And that's because of perks that the media pass gives me, like having my own demo room and not having to wait in long lines to play the things that were announced. Mm-hmm. And so it freed me up to still go downstairs and actually sit in normal seats and watch panels live and enjoy some esports. But last year they let more people in. And they removed a butt ton of seats from the main hall. And so that didn't happen. And I just felt like I was run ragged. And the few panels I got to see, I did watch from the press room, which is fluorescent lighting and TVs. It felt super clinical. And the magic was dead, man. Mm-hmm. It didn't exist. Yeah, I left last year's BlizzCon being like, I'm sweaty, I'm exhausted, and I don't give a crap about Diablo Immortal.
Right. But there was some food up there. So that was all right. It wasn't there great was food, yes. But there yeah. was food.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm trying, like, I still remember what it was like being on the outside looking in, like doing my early day Blizzard podcast and just wishing to God I had a media pass and looking at folks like you, Scott, and being like shaking my fist like, damn you, internet famous Scott. I remember it. And it really is a privilege to have those passes.
You're totally right. It is. It absolutely is. We're not just saying that so that they listen and make sure we get them.
It is a privilege. But if you didn't have the passes, and it happened to me once or twice. No, actually, it didn't. Not for BlizzCon. But if you don't, it makes working there impossible. But like, honestly, it's really... So
it's kind of not worth it.
Yes, it is a privilege. And yes, it's necessary. So yeah. I just wanted to...
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. They are expanding some of the space. The area where they usually sell swag and do ticket lines, that's all going to be used for the con this year. So I don't know where they're going to do
ticket
lines.
Really? And
swag. Yeah, they're going to use that all that space down there.
The basement?
Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
It is enormous.
It is enormous.
That's like,
square footage.
So you know what that means? That means more people are coming. That's what I think that means. I think they're opening up to be a larger ticket.
I hope
that means they're adding in an Activision section to the con, and we're going to be able to play Call of Duty and Call of Duty.
You said that, and the actual odor of dog shit hit my nostrils.
Patrick.
That is the worst.
I mean, it could be. They don't get specific about what they're going to use this space for.
They don't have Destiny anymore. They've got nothing with loot that anyone at Blizzard gives, anyone enjoys Blizzard games gives a crap about. That's not happening. Yeah.
Also, I was going to say another thing about the security last year, because someone in the chat mentioned it, and it did happen to me. And I was right behind Garrett. Garrett brought a bunch of camera stuff, which is great, because he's thorough and did lots of cool video. So he has all this camera stuff with him. We're in the same line. Garrett goes through there with all of this enormous equipment and technology. I get up to the guy and I got in my bag a small recorder, an audio recorder. And they tell me, sorry, can't bring that in. You're going to take that back to your hotel and then come back. I'm like, but he just went in with all this camera stuff that both does audio and video, high definition 4K, I think even. And you're telling me
also,
I can't.
Also, in that bag was a Tascam, which is essentially what you were stopped
yes,
at the
exactly.
gate for.
It makes no sense to me. So that's why if I seem a little rough on this whole security idea, it's because I had multiple poopy experiences in security last year. Like, multiple. And there was no getting around it. Like, you couldn't get in any other way unless I guess I could have bribed a dude, apparently, and paid $20 and gotten in. That was a cluster. Hopefully that stuff's improved regardless of this conversation. Anyway, let's move on to this other point, and that is no Gamescom. They have been at Gamescom since, well, at least actively in every year since, I think, 2014?
Early 2010s. Maybe teens, I think. I can't remember when exactly, but not we, but I used to work in Blizzard EU when Gamescom started becoming more and more important for the company. And I think it was, we were there every year, but it started growing tremendously early, probably 2011, 12, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it became a mini BlizzCon 14, even before that, actually, 13. Anyway, early 10s.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, they're not doing it this year, which surprised a lot of people. This is what they say. As part of a renewed effort this year to maintain our focus on development for our current games and future projects, we will not have a booth at Gamescom 2019. The show is an important one for the European and global gaming community, and we're going to miss meeting players in Cologne this year. You'll still be able to find Blizzard gear in the Gamescom 2019 shop area. And I don't know why that makes me laugh. And we're looking forward to returning to the Gamescom show floor in the future. We're also looking forward to sharing more details about projects we're currently working on when the time is right. So they're just not going there. So everybody who thought you might get announcements. Go ahead, Garrett.
My gut reaction was that this is the greatest news in the world for strictly BlizzCon hype. Because so often
exactly.
Gamescom comes about and I'm like, well, BlizzCon's in like a month, and then Gamescom hits and they're like, and we're announcing all the big shit. And I'm like, but what are we doing at BlizzCon?
Yeah, I think that's... That's true.
It really became a huge deal. And I think they can't go there and not have anything to announce. You know, there was a year when Activision decided they didn't want to be at Gamescom anymore. And Blizzard took over the whole... If you've ever been there, I mean, you guys don't travel to Europe, so you probably haven't. But it was enormous for... Like, it was half a hall of Gamescom, which is really big.
Yeah.
They can't go there and not have anything to announce. I guess they could, and maybe they have in the past or underwhelming stuff. But yeah, I'm with Garrett. I think this means they will have something to announce at BlizzCon. When we were talking about BlizzCon a few months back, we were saying, or at least I was saying, they can't have a BlizzCon if they don't have something big. Either Diablo 4 or a new IP or, you know, Overwatch, other game or something like that. But...
It can't just be Diablo 4. It can't just be.
I think Diablo 4 would be enough.
You think
Diablo
so?
4 and Diablo Immortal. But I think it, well, anyway, I mean, at least Diablo 4 or a new IP. I think even with the, you know, long in the toothness of Overwatch, if it was like Overwatch Legends, which is another game in single player or RPG or whatever, I don't think it would be enough. Mm. It needs to be Diablo 4, StarCraft. I don't think people would be super excited about anything StarCraft at this point.
Garrett would. Garrett would be very excited.
We're not friends anymore.
Yeah, Garrett would be stoked.
I don't think there would be a majority of the people attending that would be super excited.
I really want to fight you on this, but we can.
Yeah. All right.
Take it somewhere.
That's my feeling, but obviously...
TLDR, I think a lot more people than you think would be excited about StarCraft. I think the issue with StarCraft is that the fans of the universe aren't interested in the most difficult PvP game that's ever been designed.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. I think this is easy to clarify. What you're saying, Garrett, and I actually agree with this, if they... StarCraft in a new place, an MMO, a something else, a squad-based shooter, whatever... That would be a giant hit. What would not be a hit is another RTS. Nobody wants that.
Right. Some people want it, and I don't want to take that away from you if you do want it, but there's a lot of us, and I count myself among these people, that love the StarCraft mythos and want to spend more time in that universe, but we don't want to spend time in that universe getting our ass handed to us by kids in Korea.
Yeah.
Loki Mjolnir is solving all of our issues by saying StarCraft and Immortal.
Oh my gosh, don't do it.
I think that would be perfect.
I have begged for a mobile StarCraft tactics game.
Yes, turn-based StarCraft tactics game would be. I am totally with you. But what I don't want is an RTS on mobile. It would be terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
No. I want like grid tile-based.
Yeah.
Either make it like Into the Breach. Or make it like Civ or something. Like something that's a little more gamified. Or Final Fantasy Tactics, man. Anything like that.
Yeah, I would
do that. There are games that are real-time that work. Supercell has a couple. Probably not what we're going to get. But my whole point was going to be Gamescom would have been the perfect place to announce a Diablo game.
Yeah.
So it's not even impossible that they figured... You know, we have to announce it at BlizzCon too. This is where it will have the most impact. It will buy the trust back from our community, and we need to do it. So also, they are saving money and don't need to be spending the millions of dollars they would spend at Gamescom.
Right. It's a huge expense if you don't have a strong plan for it. And if you want to throw everything at BlizzCon... Like, why would they? I'm not that shocked about this announcement. It's not that big a deal.
So, how many new games do you think will be announced at BlizzCon? It's prediction time now.
Three.
And you can't even say...
Are we counting expansions?
No. Let's say...
I'm saying...
new things.
Well, then one.
Three. One.
Three?
Yep, here's what you're going to get. I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get Diablo 4, actual proper announcement.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get at least one of their mobile plans, one of these secret games we've been working on for 5 years. We're going to find out what one of those is.
And, oh, and they're going to bury it in the middle of the opening ceremony as opposed to saving it for the end.
Yeah, probably. And then third, I don't have a third one. I guess I was thinking of an expansion. So two.
Okay, two is where I would go.
I think two is brave. Is a brave claim. I'm pretty sure it's just going to be Diablo 4. Although, if they're canceling Gamescom would be the great place to just be like, and here's our next mobile game, because this isn't our big conference. Enjoy.
Right.
That's true. But yeah, I think Diablo 4 makes sense. A mobile game makes sense. Launch of Diablo Immortal, which, by the way, the NetEase people have been saying that Diablo Immortal is done for like 3 months. Mm. They said like it's essentially ready to go. We're waiting on Blizzard, which really amuses me because Blizzard, it shows the difference of philosophy in game development. Mm-hmm. Blizzard finishes a game and then polishes it for like 6 months to a year, and sometimes more. And that's when it's done for Blizzard. Mm-hmm. Every other company in the world, not every other, but most other companies in the world, finish the functionalities of the game, think, yeah, it's pretty good, let's go. And they don't have time for polish. So it was really interesting that Blizzard is keeps working on the game when Tencent is thinking,
yeah, I think they're done.
What are we doing, guys? Yeah. It's done. Like, it works. You have the controls. And yeah, so that was funny. Much of Diablo Immortal.
It would have gone
and a new expansion for WoW, right?
Right.
Oh yeah. We've got to have a WoW expansion. We know we're going to have a Hearthstone expansion.
Probably some Overwatch thing. It's got to be.
Some Overwatch thing, yeah.
Can't be just a character.
Well, now we're just saying older games. Like it's
yeah, but you got it. Well, they got to do something bigger than that. That's why I think it's maybe one
of them. Mean like a character or something for Overwatch, right?
It's got to be more than that. It has to be like you were saying, like whatever. Something in the Overwatch space that's like
for
new.
Overwatch, I don't... Like not for Overwatch, the existing game. I don't think... Oh, yeah. I lost hope on that one.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get anything cool there. I mean, we may get some updates and whatever, but I honestly
think maybe... Yeah, characters and stuff like that.
Could see them going like full-blown sequel announcement. I know that sounds crazy, but that's how that game's positioned. It's a game that you buy, and then you play for 5-6 years, and then a new one comes out. So yeah. I don't think that thing's a service until the end of time. I think maybe a new Overwatch game is possible. I don't know.
Of course, yeah. I think they're working on one or two right now, of course.
Right. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know about that one? Not so sure, Garrett.
I don't know. Like, they'd really have to change it to interest me, because then I look at it like, oh, you're just doing the Call of Duty model, but you're just taking a lot longer between your releases.
How about this? What if it's 100 Junkrats enter, and only one leaves?
No, but it can't be an FPS. Like, it can be a competitive FPS. It can't. It has to be another type of you were making a battle royale joke.
Yeah, that's a little BR joke there.
No.
Yeah, you're not into it. I'm not into it either.
Clever to
I'm not into it either. Not into it either. I'm not interested. I would be interested in a bunch of single player or cooperative stuff. That'd be cool if it was something more focused and less eventy.
Yeah, something of that. I really love Overwatch's universe and would love to see something more narratively driven. Mm. But
yeah,
I'm not holding my breath because it seems like Blizzard has been less and less interested in narrative.
Last night I was pwning people with Baptiste. I'm all into him right now. He's great. He's that dude's.
The game is awesome. The game is still awesome. It's just long in the tooth.
And you know what else about it being long in the tooth? It doesn't matter to me because part of my resurgence and interest in it in the last week, well, there's other reasons too, because we did that tournament and it got me excited, but I'm a little BR'd out. Like, I kind of just, going back to Overwatch, I was like, oh yeah, right. This is just, let's go team. Let's push this payload. Oh, this feels all right. This feels like home. This isn't me being stressed behind a rock when I know there's only three other guys in our circle. And that's cool. That's cool. I get it. It's a cool thing. It's obviously cool. It's the biggest thing in the world right now, that entire thing. But I don't know. That was like, it was nice. It was like going back to play Quake or something. It just felt like the right thing to do. I'll talk about that later. But anyway, let's get quickly through this earnings call. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say something about Overwatch, which was really clever, but then I forgot what it was.
Well, leave it to me to blow your mind with what I was saying so that you would forget. Let's look at the quick earnings call numbers. None of this is too exciting, but Blizzard had 32 million MAUs. What does that mean?
Monthly active users.
Ah, very nice. Thank you, PR man who used to work at Blizzard. Monthly active users in the quarter. That's down from 35 million last quarter. So a little bit of a dip. Activision Blizzard plans to increase investment in their biggest internal franchises. I think that lends credence to the idea of...
I know what I was going to say. Diablo it wasn't 4. About Overwatch, but it has to do with biggest internal franchises. What if they announce a partnership with Marvel for an Avengers game?
Oh, my Lord. I think that's already...
That would be weird.
I think
they acquired Ben Brode's new studio, is what you're saying?
Well, I mean, Ben Brode is probably going to be doing a small card game. That would be like an Overwatch-type team game.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, don't pay attention to...
Aren't they partnering with NetEase on that deal? Breakfast or second lunch or whatever it is?
Well,
second dinner.
Yeah.
NetEase...
Just keep listing meals. You'll get there. But don't say supper.
Okay.
Second supper. That would be the old man version.
Yeah.
They NetEase gave them $30 million to work. It's not like they don't even have a controlling interest in the company.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
It's not really a partnership. It's just NetEase trusting Ben Brode to make them tons of...
There's a great thread on Brode's Twitter from a while back where he kind of talked about the whole experience.
Must be something for him, because he went from... I mean, obviously Overwatch was, Hearthstone was a huge hit for them, but he used to be low-level dude at Blizzard, kind of quiet. The only time you ever heard him was at BlizzCon, because he had a cool voice, so he'd be the voice of God. But then Hearthstone happened, and then that went crazy, and now he's getting $30 million investment from a Chinese company and a license with Disney Marvel. Like, it's a big deal. He went...
That team... are the only humans on Earth that could get me excited about a mobile game.
Look at you. All right.
That's it. There's no one else.
Thick hair McGee over there.
Anyone else could announce, oh, we got the Marvel license and we're making a mobile game, and I would just blow raspberries for 5 minutes as they talked. And having like the core group of people from Team 5 move over there and get a $30 million investment and then get the Marvel license and say they're making a phone game. Yeah, I'm like, all right. I'm interested. Show me what you got.
I don't know why a elongated raspberry from Garrett is funny to me. I would film that and I would put it on repeat. ASMR.
I can't remember. There was something we did on something we covered on Angry Chicken recently that was some Q&A from the devs where it was like them just repeating the same lame answer to something, and I literally on the show was just like, blowing raspberries over the whole thing.
Look, it's ASMR for someone. Is what I'm saying. Anyway, hey, let's move on to this. They say they will continue to invest in the platform expansion on PC and mobile and new geographies, which I guess means areas of the world they're not currently in or dominating. Activision Blizzard continues to enhance their leadership position in esports, they said. The Overwatch League viewership grew. Watched hours for the second season to date are over 30% higher than in the first season. I assume that's also to the same date last season.
So that was a little bit surprising to me, because they have more watchable times for the entire world for that Overwatch League season 2. But I didn't think it was going to interest was going to last with the waning interest in Overwatch, the game itself. So I'm guessing the people who are really into it are, there are more and more engaged, which is really cool.
That is good. Yeah. Also, the esport, maybe it's some proof that the esport supersedes player shifting. You know what I mean? Like, it's still it's like
some people who aren't playing anymore are still watching.
Yeah. Or even people who are like super into all their battle royale games are like, Wayne, I really want to watch this. Like, I have friends who've never touched Heroes of the Storm and are mad that HTC is gone, because that was their esport. They loved watching that play. They'd never played it themselves. They didn't care. So I think there's a lot of that. But 30%, that's high. That's good.
I mean, I'm not playing 1v1 on StarCraft, but I'm watching the crap out of StarCraft esports and
loving it.
Loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. City-based Call of Duty League franchises are in demand, apparently. First five.
I didn't even realize they were doing that. So they're replicating the Overwatch League formula for Call of Duty.
Yeah, might be a little late for that. I mean,
this is a thing that for me is like a decade late, but if this was something they had launched back in like Modern Warfare 2 era, I would have watched the crap out of it.
Oh, I would have been huge, dude. It would have been huge. Yeah. They really did kind of miss the boat on that. But anyway, Atlanta, Dallas, New York, Paris, and Toronto. So Paris is in there, Patrick. Well done.
Yeah, it's Paris Eternal. The same, I think, the same team that has the Paris Eternal franchise for Overwatch has bought the one for Call of Duty, I think.
That makes sense, right? Have the two. Yeah. That would make perfect sense. They mentioned again that Hearthstone is a single-player PvE experience launching this month with more content on the way. We have more info on that a little bit later in our roundup. And Activision Blizzard delivered approximately $800 million of in-game net bookings, total number of digital and physical goods combined in their first quarter. So they didn't say how that compared to last year, but a relatively boring earnings call. We do these. We like to cover these just because it's a good temperature of how things are going at Blizzard. And given the Activision Blizzard stuff of recent months, it's good to look at this stuff once in a while. We do have WoW news, though. Oh, my gosh. Everybody, pull your pants up and let's do this. World of Warcraft. How many characters can you have in Classic? Well, they answered the question. In WoW Classic, you will have the following character limits per WoW account. All right, so this is an account limit. A maximum of 10 characters per WoW Classic realm. I believe that's more than they launched with, isn't it? I think it is.
I don't remember, but yes.
It is. I think it has to be. How many characters?
I think it was 8 when they launched, but yeah. Can't remember.
Well, sure. You had one for every class, and yeah. I guess now they just have extra slots, even though there's still only those 8 classes to start with. Anyway, a maximum of 50 characters across all of the WoW Classic realms in your region. So if you are in the, I don't know, North America region, you can have 50 characters, which I think is still the limit in the live game, isn't it?
It's like I have no 50. Idea.
I hit it once. I think so. When I hit it, I was annoyed because I couldn't believe I had all these like alts scattered all over the place. And
I am still annoyed by the friend cap in Battle.net. But
I hate the friend cap. You know why I hate the friend cap? Because we did a tournament in Overwatch in Vegas last weekend, and it was great. We had a great time, and I'll talk a little bit more about it in the wrap-up. But one of the problems was you had to friend the guys that were there.
Yep.
Because we weren't landing this. We had it tied back to Blizzard, so we had to have our authenticators and our accounts and everything. And we had to have these friends added who would then run the game for us. Well, my thing was maxed. So I'm like, oh my gosh, who am I going to get out of here? And I accidentally deleted Veronica Belmont but I got rid of her because I was in this panic mode of like, we got to get this game going. And I had to delete these people to add these new friends. And I had to have the whole team had to be on my friends list. So I'm just like deleting people. Ah, friends limits. That's stupid. Don't like it.
Yep, we do a community tournament 3 times a year on the Angry Chicken, and I have to friend the 6 winners of prizes to send them like Hearthstone cards and stuff, and it adds up, man.
Yeah, it's no good.
I gotta call my friends list like once a year at least.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, this is Veronica's response when she found out. Hold on, see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is.
I should say like Scott Johnson is my bitch.
Yeah, geez. All right, that's fine. Let's see what else. No one faction per realm. Oh, whoops, I almost deleted the whole thing. Only one faction per realm on PvP realms. Yeah, that's right. PvP back the way it used to be.
Yep. So,
looking forward to that, good. I guess. And no overlap or regard for the character limits in Battle for Azeroth. You'll be able to have up to 50 Battle for Azeroth characters and up to 50 WoW Classic characters at the same time. So I guess that limit is the same, but and in theory, you could have 100 characters split evenly between classes.
That answers that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting this to be the case.
Yeah.
I was assuming that Classic would be its own, like, install and launcher.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would have assumed. So this will end up on launcher, this will be on your sidebar, man. Yeah, not a launcher, but I know
what you mean. Yeah, its own icon. Yeah, own icon on the launcher.
There you go.
I wasn't expecting the characters that create in Classic to affect my limit in regular WoW at all.
Also on the PTR, as a quick note here, Nazjatar and a new dungeon are available now for testing. The new dungeon is Operation Mechagon, and Nazjatar.
Just think of it as like a soft J, like Nazjatar.
Nazjatar.
Nazjatar. Nazjatar. You're really committing to that Z.
Operation
Mechagon is OMG.
Yes. Oh, it is. Totally it is. That's great.
The best acronym for a dungeon ever.
Nazjatar. Sounds like it feels like a thing I played when I was playing bass for Fish in the 90s. That was the instrument I used. It's a stupid name.
So you have Lady Vaj.
Yeah.
Nazjatar.
Nazjatar? Nazjasatar. Got it. Anyway.
Somebody please clip out that little bit.
Please don't. All right. If you are into that and that's your jam, you can get on the PTR and play that right now because there's no reason you shouldn't unless you don't like doing stuff on PTRs, which I don't. So I don't and I won't, but some of you will. And I wish you all the luck with that.
I'm glad that you do it so that I can learn bosses when it hits the live game.
Damn straight. All right, time to wrap it up in Blizzard fashion. In Overwatch, that event thing that's going on is still alive and happening. Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was over.
Well, I went in last night and it still let me join, so I assume.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they extended it. I'm not actually sure on that, but.
No, it's more likely that I didn't realize it was still on.
It's all good. And the Overpants tournament, which we ran for our Frog Pants morning stream meetup in Vegas, turned out to be so much freaking fun. If you want to see the VOD of this thing, I put it up on YouTube at youtube.com/ScottJohnson, and it's one of the most recent videos. You can go enjoy it to your heart's content. We had a blast, and it was fun to cast it. It was fun to play in the tournament and then go back up to the booth and cast it again. And this thing was like legit, like high def, multi-camera. Like it's that esports arena, the HyperX esports arena, and the Luxor is like an actual esports space. And they had everything you needed to do anything you wanted. It was great. So I would highly recommend checking that out. And it pushed me back into playing more Overwatch, which is kind of fun. All right, Hearthstone. When's that damn PvE thing coming out? Because it's all I care about. So what's happening, Garrett?
We still don't know.
Damn it. Just this month? We just know May,
Dave,
right?
Kosak did say, he replied to someone asking this very question in the Hearthstone subreddit, saying that they wanted to give everyone some time after the expansion's release before kind of hyping it up. But May 9th, so next Thursday, they're going to be posting a video with mission designer Giovanni Scarpati, probably butchering his last name. But he's gonna, there'll be a video walking us through everything, and they're also going to be announcing a launch date, so it'll be coming. There's always been a delay since they started doing these. I do believe this is the longest one without actually going and looking it up, but this does feel like the longest break from release of the expansion to the actual single player content hitting the game.
I always get the Scarpati when I go to Olive Garden. It's fantastic. Can't recommend it anymore. let's see. All right, so that's coming up. We're excited about that. Heroes of the Storm got Anduin, the boy king. And at first, I wasn't very excited about it. But then I played him, and he's rad. So if you're a healer and you like healing in that game, he's a priesty-ass healer, and he's great.
His trait is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, pulling people out of trouble with his D.
Yeah, life gripping. I know that's not the name of it. I still don't know the real name of it, but I'll always call it life grip.
I call it let me pull you out with my D. That's what I like to say.
I call it priest being dicks.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is in Looking for Raid. That's what they use it for.
Right. So they really aimed for that. Even his heal, his flash heal is, you need to hold still for it. There's a bit of a channel. It feels very WoW healy. And,
it feels very, very WoW-ish. Yeah. So, if you enjoy WoW priests, Anduin feels like a WoW priest.
Yeah, he's cool. I also like his ult where he's basically doing his BFA, where he's looking at the sky and down comes the, all the healing and brings his people
the
up.
The beam of light. Yeah. It's a rad ultimate for sure. Or sorry, heroic.
Yeah.
Kyle and I spent quite a bit of time on Into the Nexus, kind of poo-pooing his other heroic, and then we went into our patron games last night and promptly got schooled by the heroic that we were crapping on.
Oh, good.
So, good. What are the light bomb, I think.
Light bomb, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out if you just put nothing but tanks with with Anduin and just start casting light bombs on the tanks that are already on top of your team, it works really well.
Yeah.
We got schooled by it.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear because I'm hesitant to pick it, but now I might.
I would say it depends on your team. If your team is a lot of frontliners that are just going to be up in the enemy's business the whole time, Light Bomb is probably a good choice.
All right. So he's really good. I would recommend checking that out. Diablo 3 news, zip, nothing, nada. StarCraft, not really that either. But Garrett, You've got a level 15 Kerrigan?
Dude, I've been playing so much co-op at StarCraft and watching so much GSL. Like, I forgot how good StarCraft is. It really is the greatest esport of all time.
It's a great game, dude. There's nothing
And co-op
wrong.
Is fun as crap. Yeah. So next time you're bored, man, let's get in there and play some co-op.
All right. I still haven't done that.
I've got a level 15. I already had a level 15 Raynor and like a level 10 Zagara, but I haven't played him forever. And I got back in and I was playing like some of the weirder characters, like the co-op heroes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I still want it to feel like I'm playing StarCraft. I still want to build buildings and make units and micromanage. And that's what like the free characters are. It feels a lot more like playing regular StarCraft. You still have to, you know, play a game of StarCraft, even though you're doing co-op.
Most gamers have like a list of things that they'll always remember in the games they've played. And I have one for StarCraft that is right up there in probably the top three of all game moments that I've ever had in video games. And I played a lot of video games in my time. And it's in StarCraft 1, the original game, maybe in Brood War. I don't remember if Brood War was out. I think it was because it's the same year. The first time I was able to take a Protoss, don't remember his name, but the red Archon dude that you had to combine two guys to make. I sent him over to the other team, snuck behind enemy lines, and mind controlled one of their workers. I can't remember if it was, whether it was Zerg or Terran, it doesn't matter. But the first time I was able to do that and then sneak him out of there and then secretly on a large map build up two giant armies, Protoss and now this Zerg army that I stole from him, basically turned it from a 1v1 game to a 2v1 game in one fell swoop, is one of my favorite things I've ever done. It was like the most, it was like a revelation, because this guy's like, oh, here comes his Marines, or no, here comes his Zealots coming from the north. And then before he knew it, 90% of his camp's dead because from the south came a bunch of Zerglings I made. And he's thinking he's the only Zerg on the map. It was great. Like, to this day, just gives me a little tingly feeling in my groin.
Yeah, I have a few of those too. I don't really have any StarCraft ones because I almost kind of sucked at it.
So but, good.
But, oh man, I've got a WoW one for sure.
Chatroom says they don't think that's even possible in StarCraft 2. That is correct. I do not believe you can do that in StarCraft 2. But it was...
No, there's no Protoss Archon mind control.
Yeah, and there was a way to guard against it. Like, if you were a smart player and you were doing detection right and stuff, you'd never let it happen under your watch.
You
but
probably... You could do that with some infestors.
Yeah.
In StarCraft 2.
Yeah, I guess you gotta
play Zerg.
That's true. Nothing wrong with that though. They're my favorite.
My Warcraft story is a hunter story.
Well, why don't you tell it? That's a Warcraft
story.
Yeah.
It was an Alteric Valley. We were playing PvP. This is back when I just would spend my entire weekends just playing PvP with my buddies doing Battlegrounds. And you know the Alliance Towers? I guess they're not. They're weird. I call them like bunkers in Alteric Valley.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And they've got that staircase, so it essentially gives you three tiers. There's a ground floor when you enter, then there's the staircase going up that has like a mid-level riser, and then it splits to a double staircase up to the top floor.
Yeah.
So, my buddy, I was on my hunter. My buddy's on his night elf rogue. I was a night elf hunter, and we're kind of defending the push in one of those bunkers up to the boss room on the Alliance. And people just kept coming in the door trying to kill us. And it was like something out of the Lord of the Rings. Like, Horde players kept coming in through the door, and we were just acing them. Like, I was up at the top, and my rogue buddy was on, like, that mid-level riser, you know, sapping them and fighting them. Mm. And we were just dropping so many people, and it was getting so good. And then a rogue eventually got on top of me and engaged me in melee range. And this is back. So it was either end of BC or Wrath of the Lich King. So hunters still had weapons when they were using bows. Mm. And so like I disengaged, and it was just this epic thing. And at that point in the middle of this fight, the bunker was taken, and so it catches on fire. Like, so in the middle of this fight, it's on fire.
Wow.
And I'm in this like crazy fight with this rogue, and we're both getting super low, super low, super low. I'm almost dead, but the rogue's almost dead too. So he vanishes and he reappears at the mid-level riser, and I'm like, I'm about to die. So I just jump off the top floor. And as I'm falling past the mid-level riser, I had the freaking... So, oh, This would have been BC because I had the Sonic Spear. Oh, off a freaking right. Murmur. As I'm going past, melee range activates, and I swipe with my Sonic Spear as I'm falling past and kill him, and then I land and I die from the rogue poison.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Oh, that's it was the coolest thing ever.
Best Lord of the Rings scene I've ever heard. Or Game of Thrones. Yeah. In fact, it sounds kind of like a recent Game of Thrones scene. I don't want to get
Yeah, except I could see anything. So I could see the action that happened, so it wasn't like Game of Thrones.
No spoilers, everybody. I'm not going to say anything.
There's nothing to spoil. You can't see anything.
No. Patrick, do you have a WoW experience or thing in the Blizzard game where you're like, man, that is like top 2-3 experience I ever had in a game?
I was trying to think when you were both telling your stories, and I know that I have had, you know, at least in WoW and Overwatch, mm-hmm. which I've played extensively, but for some reason I can't think of them right now. But I have this feeling rising up inside of me when I think about it, and I have images but I don't have a story. That's I'm sorry. Right. It's the story of my life.
It's the yeah, I was
all
gonna
of
say,
it is it's, like that.
Yeah, there's no yeah. one moment. It's all the moments put together.
Exactly.
The other big one is Down in the Lich King for me, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
And really, it just comes
actually,
down to,
I
it
have
awesome.
I have a story from Lich King of success and failure.
Oh, okay. I want to hear it. Give it.
So I have never been a raider. I never really had a raiding guild except for a short time between, Outland, Burning Crusade, and Wrath. And during Burning Crusade, one thing which I managed to do was to complete all of the requirements for the Hand of Alar achievement mm-hmm. and title, which I still use to this day because we managed to do it like at the last possible week that we could do it before it was retired. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy because I wasn't a raider, and taking down Magtheridon, which was there were a bunch of heroic dungeons and Magtheridon at the end, which was so difficult to conceive for me because anyway, we managed to do it, and I felt on top of the world. And then for Wrath, it was right before the launch of Cataclysm, and we managed to get all the way to Arthas, and we wanted to, like, it was 1 week before the launch of Cataclysm, before you can't get the achievement anymore. And we went to Arthas. We spent the whole night banging our heads against that fight, and the last couple of tries, we managed to get to the last phase, and we hadn't managed to do it until that point. And we were ecstatic, but also very tired. And everyone else was like, you know what, last phase, it's fine. Whatever, we'll stop now and we'll try to do it in the next few days before Cataclysm launches. And I knew that we weren't going to do it because the guild was very casual. Yeah. And I was like pleading and begging for everyone to try one last time because we were so close. We almost had him. And they didn't want to. I guess they had, you know, like jobs and kids or something trivial like that, which I didn't at the time. And I was like, no, we will never do it. I know we won't do it. Please. And well, maybe I wasn't that dramatic. But in my head, that's what it sounded like. And turns out we didn't do it. I'd never beat Arthas. And I have no interest in going back and one-shotting him, you know. And we never did it. And that, I regret it to this day.
You should go back.
But at least I have a Hand of Alar.
You can go back and solo all that stuff now and get that rad mount.
I don't care. That's not that, you know, it's not
the same.
It's not the same, but there's a mount that you can't get any other way. That's a super cool mount, unless you're not.
Hey, Scott, yeah. I don't do it for the glory, okay? I do it for the beauty of the achievement.
I see.
All right? I'm a real gamer.
Wait, then you do it for the glory, because you can go get the achievement
not the achievement like in game, like the achievement, the knowledge for myself that I can achieve this level of performance. That's what
That confirms something I always expected of you, Patrick, that if you can't brag about it, you're not interested.
That's right. Is that a comb you're waving around?
Well, no, I wouldn't even. I mean, how long I kept my secret triumph about the Hand of Alar secret? It's been like literally more than a decade, and it is an unbelievable achievement that I'm pretty sure there's only a handful of people on this planet that have managed.
So. I'm pretty sure it's the Hand of a doll and not a Alar you're talking about.
Oh, Alar? No, I meant a doll. Obviously. Obviously. I was trying to trick you and you passed the test.
Listen, it came up twice and I'm like, I'm not gonna, it's not that important. I'm just gonna let it go. But you just repeated it like three times. And
it's good that you did. I now trust that you are a true Warcraft fan. So that's good.
I don't have it. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Truly, truly. All right. Well done, everybody. Let's do a quick email and then we'll get out of here.
Hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, it's time for us to read an email. We got these at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. You can also leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. This email's from Brodus, who says, howdy, Instance crew. He says, wouldn't it be neat if, as a player, who has owned multiple expansions, you could start a new character at the beginning of any expansion you have owned? I know this is ridiculous and OP, but man, would it be fun to be able to choose to start a tune at the end of Cataclysm. What about if you own Legion and Cata, and you can start at the beginning of Legion without a boost? Thanks for all the work you do, Brodus. I guess that's an interesting idea. I mean, it feels like you're talking about instanced content, though. Like, your entire game experience would sort of be your own. You know what I mean? Like, that can't be in a world full of other people doing it, or could it?
Well, so does he mean... Oh, so he means basically not just the level, right, but, like, WoW Classic for each expansion.
Right, correct. Yeah. I think that's an interesting
idea.
That's a
cool idea. I think, given the amount of work WoW Classic demanded... that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe in the same context as WoW Classic.
Yeah, I agree. There's probably no way they do it. It's a cool idea, though. I like it. Also, your name's cool. Is it Broadus or Brodus? Broaddus.
Brodus. It's Broad or Broadus.
Broadus. All right. That's like saying, I don't know what that's like saying. I'm not gonna speculate. Garrett, any thoughts? Feelings. Do you want to do that? Do you want to start a new character at the beginning of Cataclysm?
As an altaholic, I would welcome anything that allows me to start at even more characters at higher levels than one.
Yeah.
That aren't Death Knights or Demon Hunters.
You can. You do have a very easy system.
For free.
It's called your credit card.
Oh, it's your credit card. You're right. A very simple system is in place. It just requires a credit card or a PayPal account.
Yes, just requires more money than I feel it is worth.
Fair enough. Brodus, we appreciate your email. And for those who want to write in and be like Brodus, be like Brodus. That's the t-shirt for you. Send an email. That email address is theinstance@gmail.com. All right, that's going to do it for us before we get out of here. Let's give everybody a chance to talk about any other cool stuff they got going on this week, like Patrick Pejas. Is there anything cool happening?
Sure. The Pixels podcast. If you miss Terpster and also want to hear about, his training regimen, also Mortal Kombat 11, Days Gone, many other gaming topics, then please go to your podcast app right now, search for Pixels in the ad podcast section, and subscribe, and you will be happy, I guarantee it. If you're not, your money back.
That's awesome. Guaranteed happiness? That's intense.
Yeah.
All right.
And also Not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So there you go.
Yeah, follow him over there as well. Garrett, how about you?
Everything's at amove.tv. Go check out the Angry Chicken for Hearthstone and then the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm. We have relaunched Let's Talk About Star Wars. That's with Jenny Josephson, Tom Merritt, and myself. It is now weekly, shorter weekly episodes of Let's Talk About Star Wars. So go subscribe because we took a bit of a break, but we're back now. And enter the Apex for Apex Legends.
Nice. Get your Apex on, get your Star Wars on, get it on over at amove.tv. Now, there's a lot going on at around the Frog Pants Network. You just go find it at frogpants.com. That's where I would send you. And you can find this show at theinstance.net. Now, quick note, As you may have noticed, we have a new support system. It is called the Instance Loot Stash, and it's available. It has nothing to do with mustaches, just for the record. I want to make that clear. Nothing to do with that. But I can tell you it has everything to do with you guys getting cool stuff every month for supporting the show. It's still relatively new. We just launched it 30 days ago. It went really well for our first month, and we'd love to see more of you in there. You can get to it simply at theinstance.net. Just click on the Loot Stash button, and you're in. For example, for a buck, you just get a great way to support the show and gain our profound thanks. But if you want to get more than that, we have rare, epic, legendary, and Warforged levels. And the Warforged level has this rad membership card that is unique and only available to you each and every month right here through the Instance Loot Stash. So do check it out and support the show today, especially if you're an old timer and you're like, man, I want to give back. It's time to give back to the show I love so much. Now's your chance. That's at theinstance.net. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show. You can also find more shows like this at frogpants.com. Follow us all on Twitter. Find all the things you need there. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next time with a brand new episode. Until then, everybody, within the sound of our voices, take care, and we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.